This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hi, my name's Ange Barry, and I'm the CEO of Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQ community radio station. I'm new to Joy, but Joy's been around for 26 years. We want to be around for another 26 years, and to do that, we need to grow. My vision for the future is for Joy to become Joy Nation, a combination of video, news and editorial, and of course, the great radio station that you love. We are so grateful for the support that our community has provided us over the years, but we are now reaching out to you, our friends in the broader Australian community, to help make this happen. So I'm asking you now to choose Joy by going to joy.org.au and donating to our Chuff campaign, helping us raise $250,000 to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Welcome to Saturday Magazine this morning. We bring you another great show filled with guests, explainers, complainers, opinions, and perhaps just a little bit of gossip. Stay in, stay alive. Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine with David Macca McCarthy.
Thank you, Hitch. Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9, streaming online at joy.org.au and available on podcast. This is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle program, an eclectic mix of local and national news, current affairs and lifestyle, all framed within a queer perspective. I'm Macca. My co-host this morning is Paul. Fiona is on social media. Tass is really, really busy. And
across Melbourne
back
on Joy 94.9 and street.
And sorry, we mate. Expect him back next week. We're going to speak very shortly with our favourite Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, then Ambulance Victoria CEO, Tony Walker, then Martin Foley, Minister for Quality and Mental Health, following, oh dear, Chris Martin, Dr. Chris Martin, Senior Research Fellow at City's Futures Research Centre on landlords and tenants in the current environment, and then finally, a recycling expert who's going to talk to us about preserving food, looking after yourself, and why recycling at the current time is so important. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Macca. How are you this morning, sir?
Look, I'm good. And again, I want to acknowledge all our staff, volunteers and broadcasters. 85% of our content is being broadcast remotely. Everyone has stepped up incredibly. It's working really well. The odd little issue here and there, but at the end of the day, we're on air for our community and the wider community, and it's really important that we do that to keep people in touch. And just judging by the numbers of emails and SMSs we've been getting this morning, also during your breakfast show, Paul, there's a lot of people obviously doing the right thing in isolation, and by listening to Joy, you're never in isolation.
That's so true, and never a more important time for Joy to maintain its stance as a broadcaster. Those people who really don't get a voice on mainstream media, just to make sure they know there's a friend always at the end of the radio dial, just to keep them company.
That's right. We hear you, and we're here for you.
You're right, Melbourne's favourite Lord Mayor, Sally Capps, on the line. Good morning to you, Sally.
Good morning, Paul and Macca.
How are you, Sal, now? You are, of course, Melbourne's first directly elected female Lord Mayor.
I am.
You are. And you live in the city of Melbourne, down at Docklands. I saw that lovely...
And I'm very well. Thank you for...
Great. Now, look, I saw a picture of you during the week on your balcony at Docklands, you know, because you moved to Docklands not long after you were elected. How is it... how's the feel down there? You live in a quite a large building.
Yeah.
How's the feel in the building?
I have a great view, but I think it's typical of what a lot of people are going through. You can live in a building with hundreds of people but still feel fairly isolated. When you go to get into the lift, literally the first two people that are waiting get to go in the lift so that we can keep the social distancing. We have quite a few people who are in the danger age bracket, if you like, and very mindful of keeping them safe. But there's also been some lovely things. There's a voluntary group that go out and get food, that check mailboxes, that do errands for those people who can't go out. So it's confronting, but there, you know, we also see those lovely acts of kindness as well.
So, Sally, Macra and I were both commenting just how quiet the CBD was this morning when we were making our way into the central city. The situation with the COVID-19 is changing daily. Since we've spoken to you last, what's really been happening in the city of Melbourne?
Well, pleased to say that the data that we have shows that people are really listening to the advice and adhering to the restrictions. We know that year on year, our pedestrian count is down about 86%.
Wow.
It's really eerie being in the city, and you're obviously experiencing that. Streets where we normally have almost a million people a day coming in and out of the city down to almost 10% of normal traffic. It's quite extraordinary. But in many ways, we take that as a positive sign that people are really being responsible.
One of the challenges, Sally, is, you know, one is obviously is infection control and people, you know, staying indoors and not going out unless, you know, it's absolutely essential. We've all, you know, all of, you know, I know you have and I have and Paul has and Tass does and others, you know, we've worked from home quite a lot over the years. But this is the new normal, isn't it? You know, for, you know, for councillors, for the employees of the council. I'm going to ask you, I think one of the challenges we're going to face after this, and a few CEOs I've been speaking to during the week, asking the question about why do we need so much office space? What are your thoughts on that? Because so many people are working from home and actually getting the hang of it. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, we will see a lot of change, and a lot of organisations like ours, we're already trying to look at what that change will be, what will be our new normal, as you put it, Macca.
Yeah.
I think we're all learning new skills. I say that to myself every day around technology and being more self-reliant on operating from home and making that machine work when frustratingly it shuts down for a moment. People are showing how productive we can be in extraordinary circumstances. But I would say that we are coping well on the basis that these are very peculiar times that we find ourselves in. Mostly, we still crave that interaction with people directly. We still find the most value comes from when we can be sitting across tables or working in groups where we can share each other's energy and ideas. And whilst we're trying to make the best of it with all sorts of technology like Skype and Zoom, I think it's never quite the same.
And Sally, just how are you managing to keep everyone connected at City Hall? Are you managing to get all of the day-to-day operational stuff done and still keep people motivated and connected?
Yeah, well, look, a big shout out to our CEO and the executive leadership team. It's been quite extraordinary. We have a workforce of about 1,600 people. More than 1,300 of those people are completely connected and able to work from home and do their jobs from home. And we also have an incredible team of frontline people delivering essential services still, particularly services to the elderly or people with disabilities or are unable to do day-to-day jobs themselves. Our daily support team out helping people experiencing homelessness, those services keep going. Childcare centres that are still open. So our team really has risen to the challenge, and it's terrific that from an organisation perspective we can facilitate the flexibility in working out of the office, but also knowing that the dedication is still there with people delivering those services. It's just been wonderful to behold.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Paul. Our favourite Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, is with us. Where are you at the moment, Sally? Are you on the balcony, in your lounge room, or somewhere else?
Macca, but I have my face pressed so that I can maintain a good connection via phone.
Okay.
It's getting a bit intermittent, Sally, so maybe you need to put your cheek a little bit closer to
yes. Sorry, I'm right up against it now. Does that help?
That's much better, yeah.
I'm interested, Sally, the City Council's rolled out a whole range of support for businesses and residents in the City of Melbourne. Give us a little snapshot of the ones that, they're all important, the ones that perhaps you'd like people to take more advantage of or to be aware of.
Yeah, we've been overwhelmed in the last couple of weeks. In fact, this week showed that visits to our website are up almost 50% from normal traffic, and that's people looking at all of the information about the support packages and ongoing essential services. I think one of the first ones, and we talked about this last one, was about support for people in our arts sector, that sense of performing and their ability to earn income has completely stopped. And so we have 500 grants of up to $4,000 available. We were basically oversubscribed within about 48 hours, I think. So it's been enormous, and we're just looking at ways of assessing those as quickly as possible and seeing what else we can do. Now is a time also for us to help our small businesses with their online capability and delivery. So we've got grants there to help small businesses increase their presence online and to look at ways in which they can continue to deliver their goods and services to customers. It's also a time if businesses are looking for ways to keep staff busy, those staff that they're able to keep on. They might want to take the time to do professional development or staff training, and so there are grants for that as well. And again, given that it's quiet and people don't have customers, it might be a good time to be doing some capital works in their businesses. So there are grants for that as well. So we've really tried to, at local government, we've got the smallest bucket really, but we've tried to be really thoughtful on ways in which we can help our small businesses during this tough time. And then we do all state hardship policy, and that is particularly the business to access some parts, but also our residents who might be feeling very under pressure at the moment from cash flow perspective to be able to talk to us about ways in which we can help.
Sally, so I was going to ask you, the government is talking about how people can take sort of holidays from their mortgages, how they can try and get rent relief from their landlords. Are you doing a lot of that with the small businesses here? Have you got the ability to try and actually say, if the shops are closing down, particularly in the CBD, if you are the landlord, you won't be charging them any rent?
Look, we can't enforce landlords being considerate to tenants. We can't force that. I think the federal government's finding the same situation in terms of how do we tie relief to landlords to make sure it comes down to tenants. But there are several things we've been doing, certainly trying to lead the way. We're a landlord across a number of businesses ourselves, so we've created rent relief, and certainly at Queen Victoria Market, that's now moved to zero rent for the next 3 months to be reviewed again then. And hopefully the situation has changed, but if it hasn't, then what we need to keep doing. We've spoken to a number of landlords. We, as you know, the banks have made some moves on trying to ease the burden on mortgage repayments, etc. So this is really a time when we have to look at each other and say, all of us need to share the burden in the pain that's coming through, and how can we all take a part of that so that it doesn't end up just with one part of our society or economy being the losers here. And so that's of what we're trying to do at the City of Melbourne.
Cool, thanks.
Now, Sally, as previous head of the Property Council, you have an intimate understanding of how, commercial property works, how it's built, how it's developed, how it's leased out. There's some big challenges there, but I suspect that it's residential tenancies that are being the hardest ones to actually get some compromise and accommodation, and I don't mean accommodation to stay in, to get a common interest to get through this. In terms of, the large commercial building sector, What's your feeling how that's coming along? Do you think, you know, they're accommodating their tenants where they can? I mean, there's a lot of assistance available there, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think on the whole, people are doing the right thing, and that's certainly the feedback we are getting. Of course, the exceptions tend to create a lot of the attention, but I think on the whole, the feedback we've been getting is that landlords and tenants are having the right sorts of conversations. In speaking to some of our restaurateurs, for example, some of them have just been so grateful that landlords have said, that's it, let's wait until things get better again, but we know you've got no capacity to pay because you've got no customers, so we're not going to be charging you rent. Those sorts of stories are absolutely fantastic, and you know, landlords have to pay their mortgages as well, so I completely understand that, but it's about finding the balance.
And I think, you know, as you know, when we do come out the other side of this virus, which we will, people will remember those, you know, who've been cooperative and have all worked together, you know, to support each other. And those that haven't, I think, are going to be sitting on a branch with a couple of saw marks in it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, there's always the karma argument,
yes,
isn't there? But I do think some relationships will come out of this even stronger.
Yes.
And frankly, we're going to need that because whilst we want everyone to be really well behaved at this time so we can slow the spread of the virus, where it's going to be a huge effort to really kickstart our economy and bring it back to our community. So we need to make sure we've got reserves for all of that.
Now, just a slightly lighter moment. Peter Hitchener tweeted a picture of a very grey sky and that he was at home, and he said that he's missing golf and tennis. I reckon you should reach out to him and tell him a funny story, Sal. Your fellow Joy ambassador.
Good, I'll do that. I'll try to think of a good tennis and golf story to share with him.
Well, we all when we watch.
I can't imagine Peter would be too lonely. He's got so many wonderful followers and fans.
Busy guy as well, isn't he?
He's a busy guy, and I always, you know, the in-joke around here is that when Peter's reading the news, we all wonder whether he's got any pants on under the desk.
Okay, Michael. Sally, I'm going to bring you back to the city of Melbourne again.
Thank you, Paul. Now,
we talked about trying to make sure that when we do come out the other side of it, there's a sort of an injection needed, an adrenaline rush to get the system working again. Have you considered ideas about how we actually try and bring people back into the CBD by some sort of celebratory events that will actually start bringing people back into the CBD to change their habits from what they currently are at the moment? Is that something that you could consider doing?
Yes, Paul, definitely. And your thinking on that is absolutely shared. You can imagine, of course, how many of the events that have had to be cancelled are now looking at, okay, how can we bind together to really, as you say, kickstart the economy and really that sense of activity and coming together again. I know, for example, with the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival that they are, you know, we can't lock in dates yet because we don't know how long this will go, but certainly as soon as the dates can be locked in, that they are absolutely ready to go. And it's just wonderful to see the effort from those teams that have suffered so much disappointment to have become, you know, right on the precipice of actually starting their festival to have to stop, but yet to find the right sort of endeavour to keep planning, to keep their teams excited about what's possible, to think differently. All of that sort of work, that's just one example, is going on behind the scenes. And, you know, I think of it as the start line, the rip up, and people are really sort of pressed against it, ready to go when the time is right. And we're so grateful for that because we're absolutely going to need it. From our perspective, in terms of our major events, we just had a meeting this week, for example, looking at New Year's Eve, hoping, of course, by then that everything is up and running again. But how do we make that something where we know that, you know, 400,000 people come to the city that night, that there are hundreds of more afar? How do we make that something special that says, as humanity, we really do have plenty to celebrate?
And Sally, I'm guessing we've still got the use of the internet and the wonderful streaming services that we've got. So there's still the ability to try and connect the people of Melbourne digitally through through one of those sort of sites that actually can get everyone together. So if we do need to celebrate New Year in a slightly different way this year, maybe we just do it virtually rather than in one location.
Great. And if you've got some ideas, fantastic. It's actually our older son, Nick, it's his 22nd birthday today, and he is having a virtual party this evening. a dress up. Apparently he's got 100 people coming. And wow. We'll see how the technology goes. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and humans are wonderful like that.
Quick question, Sal, on the subject of that technology. Council meetings, how are you coping those? I saw a piece during the week, because I think Victorian councils, under the legislation, actually have to physically meet.
That's right. It's really challenging. I think this is, you know, this is where we find areas. The legislation seems good, but when you're confronted with situations like this, you find that it's just not flexible enough. So in Victoria, for a council meeting to occur, there needs to be a quorum of people actually present in the room rather than virtually present, which has created all sorts of constraints for councils across Victoria, because if we're adhering to the rules, particularly rules about people who are older needing to stay at home, people who might be in certain high-risk categories not being able to leave home, it really restricts the way in which we can make decisions. It restricts our form of democracy, if you like, and it's creating quite a few challenges. For us at the City of Melbourne, we're still able to get a quorum, but then we're mindful of the fact that, you know, we have to follow social distancing, we have to be mindful of protecting our staff and the public. And so a lot of this debate continues. From the state government that this is something that they're contemplating changing, but of course at the moment Parliament isn't sitting, so changing legislation becomes difficult. So look, we've really chased this issue process to see where we can get some change, and we're still talking, as other councils are, with the Victorian government on how we can do this. They did it in New South Wales just before Parliament rose, and they're able to have those meetings virtually. In fact, this week the City of Sydney had their first virtual, and I believe it went quite well. We're doing lots of other meetings using technology, and they're working well. So we're hopeful that in the next little while we'll get a resolution to this.
Saturday Magazine, Macca and Paul. Fiona is on social media getting a touch of kangaroo paw, otherwise known as RSI. She's tapping out the messages incredibly quick. Tass is really busy. We're chatting with Lord Mayor Sally Capp. A couple of minutes to go, Sal. I think one of the things that people look for during this sort of a crisis, and I look, you know, quite dispassionately at this, and I look at where leadership is being provided and where it's not being provided. I see that what you and the City of Melbourne are doing is leadership, and what the Premier is doing is leadership, and you might want to write this down, Sal. I also think the Prime Minister is providing leadership.
Did you just say that, Mac?
None of that comes without a couple of provisos in some cases, but the reality is we have to work together. Where things really go badly, you know, I will call them out. But it's actually important for us to focus on coming out the other side. One of the problems when you go through a tunnel is if you stop halfway through rather than keeping your eyes on where you're going to come out, someone will run into the back of you. One of my useful analogies, Sal.
I'm trying to keep a straight face. Yeah. Because I know you've got a serious message in here.
Yeah, and it is, you know, leadership is really important. Communication is really important. What you're doing, what your colleagues are doing, what all the staff at the City of Melbourne and the volunteers that do stuff at the City of Melbourne, I know they're out there, they're out and about, they're doing what they can, they're listening to people and they're acting on it, and that is really important, and I want to acknowledge that, because I'm seeing how that is playing out and it makes a huge difference. So thank you.
And Sally, can I just To stay on a serious point for a second, I know we've talked previously with you about how the City of Melbourne is supporting probably the less fortunate people, particularly the homeless that we've had. We've seen an increase on in the streets of the city. Just tell us in the last couple of weeks how that work has continued, just to try and support those most vulnerable people.
And thanks, Macca, for those comments. And it just shows what we can do when we work together, but also when we move bureaucracy and red tape to one side. If we actually need to get on with stuff, we can. And the homelessness services is a really good example of that between and local government and all the agencies. So all of the support services continue to be provided from meals, through to services around mental health. What's been extraordinary is the amount of accommodation that's been able to be made available, some of which is because we don't have tourists or we don't have our visitors. Not to say that we don't love that, we do, but just because the accommodation's become available, the state government has really stepped in with some extra funding support, and we have fewer than ever people actually sleeping on our streets in the evening. And the contact, in fact, I'm sitting in on at least the weekly meetings, and I know that the agencies and our team are speaking daily about who's out there and what we need to do to help them. There are special clinics that have been set up for the homeless to be able to access appropriate medical services, including COVID testing. And I think what else has been a benefit out of this is that we've been trying to get a program going that's called By Name, so that we know our homeless population by name and their individual circumstances. And we're able to accelerate that project at the moment with fantastic cooperation across all the relevant organisations. So
That's
we're seeing
effort.
Some of those projects push forward, yeah.
And look, just before we go, Sal, and thanks so much for your time, a listener has messaged this in, and we actually had it on our list of things to do. Congratulations to you on your award from Melbourne University.
In leadership, yeah.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you. Look, I haven't been in emerging anything for quite a long time, Macca, about 3 decades. I'm relatively new to this. I feel the honour and the joy every day, and to receive some recognition, which really reflects that incredible team effort that goes on behind the scenes. But I was absolutely thrilled to get the award, and thank you for noting it.
It's a pleasure. And look, we appreciate you giving your time this morning very generously. Give your face a nice wash afterwards, because you've been pressed up against that phone.
Hang on, Mac. Before we just finish with Sally, I just want to say, Sally, because that is a big award, and I do think you should be duly recognised for that. And I just wanted to ask you, Mac and I obviously both worked in the private sector. Just jumping from the private sector to a very public role and getting this award is a pretty tremendous achievement. Just give us a quick glimpse into what's it been like being widely known for the work you're doing, as opposed to working probably a bit more behind the scenes in a corporate job.
Well, look, it's equal parts scary and satisfying. Scary because the sense of public scrutiny and judgment is with you at every moment, and that certainly sharpens the senses, but it also means that you have to feel very strongly about what you think is right, what you believe is the right thing to do, and at times that can be quite scary, all of those elements. On the other side, it's enormously satisfying. It's the literally joy that I get when I can walk around the city and feel a sense of involvement, but importantly, the opportunity to make a difference is huge, and something that is also highly energising and stimulating. So there's a real driver there to keep going. And the great thing about local government is we live in our community, and we can changes that need to be made, and we can work together to do that. And I know that, you know, I love being with you on my Saturday mornings when I can, because it gives me such a wonderful sense of community. And you know, that's another big part of what drives.
It is. And Look, once again, thanks for your time, thanks for your leadership, thanks for your compassion. We are going to be talking to you regularly, and dare I say, the way that you do what you do and the passion you do it with and the commitment and the support of our community is why you and Peter Hitchener are Joy Ambassadors. So thank you.
Thank you, Macca. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Sally. And keep up the great work. We always love talking to you.
Cheers. You stay well. Stay well, Sal. And
I'm just peeling myself off the glass now.
Okay.
I can just imagine you, your face pressed up against
it.
We appreciate the lengths you go to come and join us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was Lord Mayor Sally Capp. Now, I've got a couple of messages here, Paul. 317, good morning, 317. He says, more women in senior roles, please. Yes. He also says, women can multitask and are amazing in leadership roles. That multitasking is a skill some of us don't have, Paul.
what are you trying to say, Macca?
Oh, I don't know. Look, you know, I'm... And sorry, 317 also said, Morrison is acting a bit like Whitlam and becoming a socialist with government money.
It's amazing what a crisis can do.
There's actually a big difference. This isn't socialism, despite what people like the IPA think, right? This is actually doing what government should be doing, and that is ensuring that no one is left behind, that everyone is supported. And yes, there's an economic cost to this, and we're going to be paying for this for a very long time. But just for a moment, think, if we weren't spending the huge amounts of money we are to support people that don't have any jobs currently, upgrading our health system, doing everything that we're doing, you know, to try and minimise the illness and death from this virus and the impact it's having, just think for a second what it would be like, and you only have to look in other places around the world, what it would be like. So you want to call it socialism if that makes you feel happy? And that's not a crack at you, 317. If you want to call it socialism and that makes you happy, be happy. But also acknowledge this is what is going to enable this country to come out the other side. But we all have to work together. And if we don't, we're rooted.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.